Welcome to the World Service Conference 2019 Fellowship Day. My name is Sammy, and I'm a debtor.
Hey, Sammy.
Will you please join me in the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This workshop topic is steps 1, 2, and 3.
Hi, I'm Philip. I'm a debtor. And I'm really grateful to be here. Very grateful to be in DA, and just really honored to be part of this fellowship day at the conference and to see so many faces not from LA. It's really wonderful. The steps 1 through 3. I admitted that I was powerless over debt, that my life had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And 3, made a decision to turn my, turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. I was so happy to see he had that, because I knew I would get nervous. So yeah, you know, in general with this share, I really want to just, I'll come back to the end to the theme of keep coming back, because the keep coming back piece has really meant like so much to me. And I really believe like if you keep coming back, you're going to get what you need from your higher power. It's just unavoidable, you know? I've been in DA for 16 years. I've been out of debt for 6 years. Should I get closer, Chris? Much closer. I'm not Lady Gaga or something. So I really do feel that like coming into DA for me really embodied that idea of the first 3 steps. And even though I've been out of debt for 6 years, I know I still need to be here. You know, I'll tell you more about this, but I came into here into DA in intense anxiety, and I had been fired from a job, and I did not know what I was going to do. And in the last 2 weeks, I took a very highly coveted job in that same field that I was fired from 16 years later. And when I was trying to decide whether to take that job, I had extreme anxiety. It's the stuff underneath for me that I really need healing and care for. And when I come into DA, I realize that I am not alone. I have support and care of others and wisdom of others. And even though I have anxiety, it doesn't control me, and I can keep going to my next action, my next contrary action. And I get unlimited support around that. And just going back into the past, I mean, I was at 13, the paper boy who couldn't make heads or tails of those little tickets and, you know, like bought a waterbed like my first month and had no money to pay for the papers at the end, you know. I was definitely that guy. It makes for a good DA story. But, you know, at the core of my what brought me to these rooms is, you know, I did have stuff in my family. My sister was hospitalized for psychiatric reasons when I was growing up. And that was like a really central, intense focus of my family, you know? And I just really, like, I was terrified that people would think there was something wrong with me. And so, and also I saw there was so much going on with others. Like, I didn't want to cause any more problems. So the lesson for me was like, I have to present a perfect exterior. And I just internalized everything. I internalized feelings. Later I would come out as bisexual, but like, I could not handle that as a teenager growing up, and I could not handle, and I had a lot of internalized negative feelings, and I could not handle it. So I just presented that everything was fine. Don't worry about me. Happy go lucky kind of guy, you know? Thank you. And they bought it, you know? Like, I actually remember a therapist saying, like, we're really worried about him. And like, I was able to be like, I don't know what they're talking about, you know? And my parents didn't, he's fine. And I got into filmmaking and that type of stuff. So I was creative. But that is at the core of, like, I don't know. I didn't know how to reach out for help. You know, I didn't know how to deal with money. And I did not want to, like, it was a matter of survival that I didn't reach out for help, you know? And so in college, I got those credit card things, getting into my union for my job and what I do. I did one of those old credit card checks that they used to have to pay for the dues. And then, like, I started paying for, like, and like, I wasn't good at networking, because you have to ask for help in networking. And so I would have periods of time where I wasn't earning, I wasn't working and trying to scrape together the next job. And I did come to some jobs, but I was getting into this cycle of going into debt during the months off, you know, because it was also it's a freelance world that I live in. And it kept just going in cycles of like earning and trying to pay off the debt. And then like the classic thing where it was just a loop, and then it would always get worse, even though I would think that I was paying it off. And it got to the point, I mean, I was getting work and people were seeing that I could do the work, but it's like the debt was becoming overwhelming. And I had lived in New York for 10 years and decided to come to LA and totally debted, and I'm paying for groceries. I've got nothing to show for all of my debt. And I was sort of freaking out. You know, I was the guy, while everyone else was out having fun, I was like, had sheets that I was like, you know, trying to see if I move money from here, da da da. But I got this job that was too much for me, and I had a complete anxiety attack. I was freezing up at work and like did not know what to do and felt totally alone. And then I was let go. I was fired, you know, and I did not know what to do. Luckily, I had a good friend who had been going to DA I think it was at least 6 years. And she said, why don't you come to a meeting with me? And luckily, she didn't have a car. So she was my security blanket, you know, and she seemed normal. So I started coming to meetings, you know, and, you know, I did not know what to do. I was powerless. It's like everything I had done, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And the anxiety was crippling, you know, it can be really crippling, anxiety. And when I came into DA, there were people that had experienced strength and hope, and they had suggestions and seemed to know what to do. And I just started listening to them, you know, and I'm really grateful that DA is a place like DA makes no demands. I have one more minute. Jeez. This has got to be enough, I guess. I'm grateful that DA makes no demands on us as to what our higher power is. And for me, like, DA itself has been my higher power, because there's more wisdom and support and caring and unconditional, all of those things unconditional, because I place incredible conditions on myself even still. And when I come into these rooms, I get unconditional support. And I have availed myself on everything, sponsors, action partners, all of the tools, the steps, service. I've done service. I'm still doing service. I'm treasurer for my home meeting that, as a miracle, is like a block from my apartment. So I've been going to that meeting for 16 years steadily. And, you know, I just am very grateful, because like I said, before this, thank you, I didn't know how to ask for help at all. And I've never gotten more support in my life than I have from DA. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Thank you for letting me be a service.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Domingo. I'm a compulsive debtor.
Hi,
and it's great to be here. Welcome, everybody here present in the meeting on Fellowship Day and on the telephone. And I'm so grateful to be in a meeting of Debtors Anonymous. And I'm so grateful there's a solution. How close do I need to get? That's tricky, right? That's good. Okay, thanks. It's so great that there's another way to live other than being in, a compulsive debtor, you know, in the middle of my disease. I think it's when I look back, I'm really grateful for this program. And I'm grateful that, you know, one day at a time, there's a way not to live, you know, with all the effects of this disease. It's a horrible disease. There's a lot of, like it's been said before, a lot of turning for me inward, you know, hurting myself, not understanding anything about self-care. Ooh, not understanding that I'm people too, you know, thinking of myself as some other type of person that, you know, abundance and good things are for others, but not for me. Living in constant chaos and anxiety over not just money, over I can pretty much anything. So I'm just grateful there's a solution. There's another way to live. And I just remind myself every day about that. So, all right. So I'll do it in chronological order just so that I'll try. I always say that, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so I welcomed everybody. So step one, I will say, talk a little bit about what got me into these rooms. I did come. This is my second program. I do three programs. You know, I won't like mention them other than to say that I need help with money, food, and relationships. And so, and those were my top three. And this was the second one. And in my first program, I saw the positive effects. I'd never actually, really experienced 12 steps, and my sponsor taught me through the big book, worked me through the big book, and he said, this big book can solve any problem that help you solve any problem that you have. And so I heard that, and 6 months later, after seeing positive results, I said, you know, I need help with this money thing, because I had done a geographic. Well, prior to coming in and doing that geographic, I had lived in my car for a year and a half, you know, and everything that comes along with that, you know, having to bathe and, you know, in different places, like, you know, and it all seemed I had a plan. And of course, this plan's going to work. This is how I was going to do it, simply. And it was all because I didn't want to give up spending money on something else. You know, I continually got evicted. Like, I had rent, you know, that was as cheap as $300, you know, for here in this area in LA. That's very reasonable. And and I couldn't make that. I couldn't make that. And I'd have to go to my brother who made less money than I did. And I've been an overworker, you know, workaholic, whatever you want to call it. And I know there's a tool or a signpost that says, you know, dating, I'm jumping all over the place. Let me chill out. Dating is about giving more than I get. It's not an even exchange. It could be in relationships and it's career decisions and financial transactions. So I can have a lot of money and still be dating if I'm, you know, making these decisions where I'm putting myself behind and I'm, or acting out of fear, right? And not trusting. So, somebody's, you know, I've always made enough money to take care of myself, but I've got to go in there and work harder and sacrifice somebody's going to give me. The other thing about me as a debtor is I don't know how to accept good things in my life. And so if I get a lot of money, I will work so hard that I'm actually getting paid a little bit of money for the amount of work. You know, I'll make something good. I will waste it, burn it. You know, if it's energy, if it's time, if it's money, any type of resource, I'm going to just blow through it and get it out of my life as fast as I can, you know? And that's what I did. And so I couldn't afford just, you know, any type of payment. And I didn't trust myself. Thank you. Wow, that does go fast. I couldn't trust myself to sign a contract because I couldn't sign another contract because I wasn't going to do it. I couldn't do it. You know, people were lucky. Okay, when I signed a contract, I was early for the first payment. There I was. I'm going to do it. You know, here I am. I'm early. Look at me. You know, proud of myself. Second one, it was either, you know, on the date or a little bit late. But okay, there's hiccups. Life happens. You never saw the third payment. You know, you never saw the third payment. And that was it. You know, go into hiding, avoiding. And, you know, and I didn't have long years of dealing with and moving stuff. I mean, I did move stuff around and bounce checks and all that. But I mean, I just crashed and burned really fast, you know, and that was kind of I built up like all the credit that I owed like super fast within a couple of years. And then they wouldn't give me any and I just waited it out, you know, in 7 years they're going to clear everything. So I'll just wait 7 years. And, you know, and that's kind of those are the decisions that I was making my disease, you know, not go ask for help. You know, asking for help was illegal. It wasn't good character to ask for help, etc. So, what else? So that's step one is admitting that that I need help, you know. And I started in all kinds of ways, and ultimately I came here and did what I had heard or I learned I'd been taught what worked. Hey, get a sponsor, work the steps, and be of service, work the traditions, you know, in my life, and practice those in all my affairs to the best of my ability. And I did that, and it started working, and it was scary. I couldn't open up my mail. They probably didn't even bring it. They're like, he's not going to open up his mail. We're just going to keep it at the post office till he comes pick it up. You know, it had been a long time. People had been saying, hey, I sent you a letter. Did you get my letter? We invited you to something. I'm like, you know, I don't know. There's a problem with my mail. You know, the problem was me. I wasn't checking my mail. There were bills, you know, it was probably full of red, you know, letters with red something. Interestingly enough, so that was like the first thing I did. I got my sponsor. I said, I can't open my mail. She said, you're going to bookend. You're going to call me every day. You're going to say, I'm going to open my mail. You're going to open up your mail. Then call me and say, I opened up my mail. And if you need any help with dealing with anything. Interestingly enough, yeah, it was all those checks. It was all those late due notices. I didn't think something was due until I got the final. You know, like, oh, okay, now it's due. You know, now it's due. That's how I lived, you know, turning my key, is the light going to be on today? Maybe like, you know, they usually turn it off, you know, 4 days after is it going to be on? Is it going to be not on? And I had money to pay these things, but this is the disease, you know, it didn't matter. Totally unorganized living, you know, living on E, you know, my tank, you know, getting up, being late for something. I'm not going to have enough time to share all this. How much time do I have? Like a minute?
Yeah, a minute and 43 seconds.
All right. So let me, anyways, that was my life. But that was the first step. I'll talk about the three main things. First of all, step one is super depressing for me if there's not step two. And thankfully, there's step two. You know, I'm powerless. My life is unmanageable. I lived in there. And if, you know, I have to say, you know, if you're living in there, remember there's a step two and get to it. You know, I guess, I don't know. I lived like a year depressed because I was in step one, you know, but forgetting there was, you know, there was more to go. And there's step two, hey, a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. I started seeing that and believing that and doing the steps necessary. And then three, developing a relationship with the power greater than myself. I think that was the right step. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to step 11. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That's been the prize of the program, right? My step one, I mean, if I had to whittle it down today, I would say, you know, my step one is there's no silver bullet. Stop looking for it. You know what I mean? It's just for today. It's small human act. It's all I've done in this program is small human acts, and let my higher power make miracles out of it. You know, and do it. I try to practice consistency, organization. But yet, they're all just tools. It's just things to assist me, but not ultimately the answer. And I will say that's the prize of the program. Having a relationship with a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, is taking care of me, that breathed us all into existence out of sheer love. And I get to just work the steps so that I can have a happy, sane, joyful life. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks.
Okay, in closing, we would like to remind you that in Debtors Anonymous, we practice Tradition 12, which is the principle of anonymity. This assures us the freedom to express ourselves at meetings and in private conversations without fear that our comments will be repeated. We keep what is shared at meetings confidential. As we work the steps and practice DA's traditions and concepts, we are reminded that recovery is possible and that we are all here for a common purpose, to recover from compulsive debting one day at a time. Please form a circle and join me in closing the workshop with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.